There's a sign on the stone on our left there for Harland Way, a tribute to the Harland and Wolff shipyard that used to operate here, which is why the riverbank is unusually shaped.
Let's go back further in time, not as far back as the Vikings, but further than the shipbuilding heyday. How did all this industry get started on the Clyde? It's all down to the success of one boat, the Comet Paddle Steamer. Emily Malcolm, curator of transport and technology at the Riverside Museum, takes us back to the early 19th century and sets the scene.
In 1811, the year before the Comet came into operation, if you'd wanted to travel down the Clyde, there were three ways you could do that. You could walk, which was free, but took a lot of time, and that was the choice that most people took. You could go on a sailing vessel, a little sailing ship called a gabbert or a fly. Now that was completely dependent on the tide and the wind, so it could take you a very long time to get down the river, sometimes much longer than it would take you to walk. The third option was to travel in a stagecoach, which was very expensive, and could also depend on the conditions of the road or the weather, and was also considered very an uncomfortable way to travel. You could be stuffed inside a lot of other people that you didn't know.
So there was room for a new mode of transport for people and goods. Make way for the Comet, a modest boat that changed the history of the river and shaped Glasgow's future.
On the 11th of August, 1812, the Comet made her maiden voyage from Glasgow, from the Broomielaw, to Greenock. Now, she wasn't able to actually go across to Helensburgh because there was no suitable pier at Helensburgh, but Henry Bell had arranged for a small rowing boat or sailing vessel to meet the passengers disembarking at Greenock and to take them across to Helensburgh. So this was an immediately successful idea and an immediately successful form of transport, and within 2 years there were dozens of steamers operating on the Clyde, and Bell's steamer and his collaboration with Wood, Robertson and Napier really set the scene for the Clyde becoming a centre of excellence for shipbuilding, and in particular steam-powered shipbuilding, and really began the development of the Clyde as the shipbuilding river of the latter 19th century.
On the opposite side of the river, you can see York Hill Children's Hospital.
We have to leave the river path now because the gate up ahead is locked, so take a right up this path into the housing estate and onto Napier Drive.
Follow Napier Drive through the housing estate.
There's a very old story behind Govan that goes beyond what the kind of the modern stereotypes would show you. People have been working very hard since the decline in the kind of industry and raised kind of engagement with the labour market to make sure that Govan is going to improve and it's going to have more facilities. And I think that one of the main things that can help that is tourism, not only here but with the Riverside Museum just across the water, and with Govan Workspace being involved in the redevelopment of Fairfields. They are going to let people experience what it's like to go inside an active kind of shipyard, what it was like, the kind of tools that people used, and the kind of the contrasting opulence of what the shipyard offices were like. So we want people to see that there's a kind of larger, longer story, and if we can try and link all those points together, then Govan could become somewhere that people will visit more regularly, and hopefully they will be able to invite more tourists to come and make it a stop off.
Follow the curve of the road along Napier Drive.
Look out for the stone on the side of Napier Drive in the housing estate with an inscription about the Glasgow Women's Housing Association. Susan from the Hidden Histories Project recalls the achievements of Govan suffragette Helen Crawford, who helped people campaign for fair rent.
Well, she became a member of the Independent Labour Party, and she was an active suffragette. She was imprisoned 5 times in 2 years and went on hunger strike 3 times. But it didn't put her off fighting for the rights of women. When the rent strike started in 1914, 1915, they helped the women of Govan to organise themselves, and they fought against these rent rises. There were so many people coming to Glasgow, landlords didn't need to keep the same tenants, they could overcharge them, they would have to leave, they'd always get someone else to fill their place, so they had to stop. And so they took it on, and they won their case.
Keep going to the top of the road, past the Riverside Hall, to the junction with Govan Road.